morning and welcome to Jew in the City Speaks with your host, Allison Josephs, also known as Jew in the City. The one thing I hear people say over and over again post October 7th is, at least in this horrible time, Jews are coming together more. At least in this horrible time, Jews are becoming more proud and more out about their heritage. And today's guest probably is doing his share in terms of helping Jews, a lot of famous Jewish men, connect to their identity in a way that they probably would have been, frankly, ashamed to in a different era. I spoke to a couple of celebrities a couple of years ago, pre-October 7th, about the idea of wearing a yarmulke on the red carpet to show that I'm a proud Jew, and if you dress like this, you could get attacked on the street. And I was almost immediately shot down that a yarmulke was too Jewish. Well, there is a man named Yossi Farrow who is in rabbinic school right now, and he's kind of made a little bit of a name for himself, becoming a tefillin wrapper for famous Jewish men around the world. And I've been watching him online, and I'm so excited to have him on our show today and talk about who he's wrapping, how he does this, and the reactions that he is seeing. So Yossi, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
So, what's very interesting is that I think I probably started following you when you got connected to Michael Rapaport. I'm not Chabad, but my husband's family is, and people I think often think that I am because...
Yeah, I always thought you were Chabad.
A lot of people from the modern Orthodox world aren't. So as Jewish as I am, more sort of into the Jewish outreach or kind of, I don't know, I think I give off that vibe, certainly.
For sure.
See a lot of beauty and positivity in what Chabad shluchim, you know, emissaries are doing around the world, the sacrifice they make. My family's personally benefited from you know, their kindness when we're around the world. My older son, actually, we gave him the name Gavriel because he was born when Rabbi Gavriel Holzberg and his wife were taken hostage in Mumbai, and when they were murdered, and it was right before his bris. We actually added that to his name. So I both respect and, you know, joy for the good. And also, you know, I feel like we hold a piece of some of that sacrifice in our family as well. But Michael Rapaport posted something around January 1st that his New Year's resolution was to become more Jewish and more Zionist than ever before. And I reached out to him, and I think you did too. He was the Chabad.
Actually, funny enough, you want to know when the first time we did the film together?
Yeah.
On December 29th.
Oh, really? And was that part of his New Year's resolution? Is that he was already thinking
It was right before New Year's. We've been working on, we originally got in contact in late October of 23.
Okay.
And just scheduling issues didn't work out. He was in Israel, I was in Israel, then we didn't, whatever. Finally, on December 29th, it worked out. And we started doing the film together.
Love it.
And
so I feel like
the rest is history.
I feel like he's one of the most public things. I reached out to him as well. Again, I'm not the Lubavitcher and it's not my mitzvah, but when I saw him post that, you know, he wants to be more Jewish, I'm like, Michael, talk to me. This is what I do.
I love it.
So, and then when I saw that you were working with him, I was like, great. I don't actually know how to wrap tefillin. So obviously Michael is, you know, a really famous actor who is doing this, probably one of the most, you know, well-known male actors doing something so public. But like, how did this begin exactly? Obviously, a lot of Lubavitch men, you know, stand on corners and ask who's Jewish and have tefillin available. But you kind of have gone for a more, you know, celebrity type of crowd. So like, when and how did this start? And how are you connecting with people? And kind of give us a little bit of that backstory.
Yeah, for sure. So how did the celebrity part start, or how did I get into tefillin in general?
I mean, the tefillin thing was a different story than your average Chabad person.
No, basically, average Chabad guy started going every Friday and doing tefillin with people. Then I was a student in Yeshiva in LA 2 years ago in September of 2022. And they were filming a TV show right near my Yeshiva. And I went to the set and started asking people if they're Jewish. And I met some Jews. They weren't so interested in doing tefillin. Then finally, I met this dude in an alleyway near the set. And I'm like, hey, can we do tefillin together? He said, yeah, why not? I'm like, are you Jewish? Yeah. Or the dude's tefillin? Yeah, why not? We did the tefillin together. And I take a picture with every single tefillin. We took a picture together. And when we were done, he asked me, have you ever heard of Lil Dicky? So I'm like, yeah, I think I've heard of the name. He's like, that's me. I'm like, oh, that's so cool. I didn't actually know who he was. But, yeah, so I walked away and then went on my phone, Googled his name, and saw, like, he was famous. So, like, I opened up an Instagram and Twitter account right around then. So I, like, posted that as, like, my first post. And it went, like, sort of viral in the Jewish world. Then, like, a week and a half later, I'm walking on Melrose in L.A. And I meet this dude with, like, one earpod in on a Zoom call, walking with some random guy. I ask him, are you Jewish? He says, yeah. I'm like, you did the fill-in today? No. Would you like to do it? Yeah, why not? We did the fill-in. I'm like, well, we're doing the fill-in. Like, I asked him, what do you do for a living? Like, he tells me he's an actor. And I don't know if you've ever been to L.A., but every Uber driver tells you they're an actor. So I'm like, have you acted in anything I ever heard of? Like, yeah, I acted in Spider-Man. I'm like, oh, very cool. Like, every guy tells you they acted in Spider-Man and Batman and everything. Right. Like, actually later did the film with Batman. I think you guys also had him, right? David Mazzou.
Yeah, yeah, David. Yeah, yeah. But I mean, he grew up with, you know, keeping Shabbos and that sort of a thing.
Yeah.
So who's Spider-Man?
His name's James Franco. Are you familiar?
Oh, yeah, sure. Okay, yeah.
So me and James did the film. Like, I was walking down the street later. Someone's like, was that James Franco you were just speaking to? Like, I think that was his name. Then Googled him and realized he was, like, a big actor. And then I posted the picture. Went also sort of viral. And then, like, a few weeks later, I met Ari Gold, a.k.a. Jeremy Piven from Entourage. Did the fill-in with him. Then I met the Nelk Boys, which are, like, this famous YouTube group. I did the fill-in. Actually, that's a funny story. I also met them on Melrose. And I asked one of them, if Jewish, would you like to do the fill-in? No, I'm not interested. I don't take no for an answer. And I'm like, you sure you're not interested? Let's do it. It'll take 1 minute. Like, no, I'm really not interested. And I'm like, continue, like, trying to get him. I'm like, I'm not going to let this guy go past me. Finally, he's like, you're the most persistent guy I've ever met in my entire life. Take down my number. So I took down his number. And, like, I get back to my yeshiva. I'm like, an hour later, he gives me a call. And he's like, you're super persistent. I love it. Come to my hotel in the Waldorf in Beverly Hills tomorrow and let's do tefillin. So the next day, I come to his hotel. We do tefillin together. And he's like, my grandparents are Holocaust survivors, and we're doing this tefillin in their honor. And then, like, we end up doing tefillin, like, 30-plus times over the last 2 years, and we kept in touch. And he's introduced me to other people to help do tefillin. And then...
Wait, do we get a name? Do we get a name for that one, or no?
Yes, yeah, Steiny from the Nelk Boys.
Oh, got it. Oh, the YouTuber. Got it. Okay.
Yes, yeah. And then, like, a month later, I'm sitting in a shawarma joint in L.A., and I meet this dude, and I meet a group of Israelis walk in. So I asked one of them, do you put out the film today? He's like, I'm not interested. I'm like, funny, that wasn't my question. And I put a yarmulke on his head and start wrapping him up, and he sees my cap. I was wearing, like, a Happy Dad hat that day, and Happy Dad's that YouTuber's brand. He's like, oh, you know, he's like, oh, let me send a picture to the Nelk Boys. I'm like, oh, you know, Nelk Boys? He's like, yeah. I'm like, oh, do you know Adam Ross, which is another famous Jewish influencer. So he's like, yeah, I manage him. What's the chances? Like, I asked him, do you know Adam Ross? And he's his manager. So I'm like, hey, can you get me to film with him? He's like, I don't know if it's gonna work out. He just moved to Miami, and his cousin was there also, which I did the film with another Israeli. And his cousin's like, don't worry, I'm gonna make sure I get you to film with Adam Ross. I guarantee you, I'll make it happen. So fast forward like a month, it's like the day after Pesach. I just got back to LA, and I get a call from his manager. He tells me, he's like, I want to do a Shabbat meal with this Jewish rapper. Have you ever heard of BLP Kosher?
Mm-hmm.
You've heard of him?
Yeah, yeah.
He's like an up-and-coming famous Jewish rapper.
Yeah, yeah.
He's like, we're doing a Shabbat meal live stream with BLP Kosher, and would love for you to join and get us a rabbi. So I told him, no problem. So we did a Shabbat live stream with BLP. We end up doing tefillin on live stream with Dana Ross. That wasn't our last time. They ended up coming to New York to do a live stream in New York. We did it again there. And then they were in Toronto a month ago. They flew me out again to come to Toronto to do tefillin with him. And funny enough, he lives right next to me here in Miami. So I hope to be able to do tefillin with him many times, many more times, again, closer to Judaism. And that rapper I mentioned, BLP Kosher, we ended up striking up a very close relationship while together in. Together on that, what's it called, on that stream in Vegas with Aiden. And we developed a close relationship. I took him to 770. And one time while I was in LA and wasn't able to make it 770, he came to 770 himself and filmed the music video there. and like he needed a rabbi for his music video in LA. I set him up, and like one time he was in, and BLP Kosher is a rapper. He's not religious whatsoever, but loves to learn Torah. He tries to keep kosher to the best of his ability, and he puts on his tefillin every day. So one day he calls me up. He's like, I'm in Miami and I forgot my tefillin at home. I need tefillin. So I came down there, and he brought me down there, and we did tefillin together. Like, the guy doesn't miss a day of tefillin. Like, if you saw him on the street, you would think a guy like him, like, would never do tefillin, and he does it every single day. And super passionate about his Judaism, and it's amazing to see. So that's a quick bio of how I got started.
That's a quick bio.
Yeah, I grew up in Crown. I grew up in Crown High.
And did you have your, sorry, continue.
What did you say? No, I grew up in Crown High.
Oh, I said,
for 2 years. I'm on that. Okay, you go.
And then did you have your sights set on celebrities as like a thing to look out for?
No, it just stumbled upon me. It was never like my goal in life. It just happened to happen.
Are there stories of non-celebrities that you also find down the street and do not make it to the Instagram pictures?
No, for sure. I have a great story. I actually try to post every single tefillin I do, celebrity or not. So a great story I have. One day I'm walking down the street in Manhattan. This is when I was 14 years old, right when I was getting started with my tefillin journey. And we basically have like these routes in Manhattan. Like each person takes a few blocks and knocks down those stores and offices over there. So I was just getting started. Me and my friend are both 14 years old. We're trying to find some new stores, new Jews in Manhattan to go rap every Friday. And we see this store with the mezuzah on it. So we go to the store. We are assuming the guy's Jewish. Hey, are you Jewish? He tells me, no, I'm not Jewish. I'm like, oh, you're sure you're not Jewish? I see a mezuzah. He's like, yeah, I came with the previous owner. I didn't believe him. So I'm like, okay, I'll come back next week. Hopefully he won't remember me, and hopefully he'll say he's Jewish. So I came back the next week. I'm like, hey, are you Jewish? He's like, you were here last week. Please never come back again. So I'm like a little 14-year-old kid. This was a harsh one for me, but whatever. Life's life. So I moved on. Fast forward 3 months, and I'm walking down the street in Manhattan. I meet this dude. I ask him, are you Jewish? Yes. Do you put on the tefillin today? He's like, I put on the tefillin every single day, but today I actually missed the tefillin because I was in a rush to work. But yeah. So I'm like, let's do the tefillin. Like, I don't like to do tefillin outside in front of all the guys. Let's do it inside. Like, there's a lounge across the street. Let's walk into the lounge and do tefillin there. He said, okay. So we start walking, and he's like, actually, my son's store is up the road. Why don't we go to my son's store? So we start walking. We walk into that store that I was in several months earlier. The guy obviously remembered me, and his face turns red. He's all embarrassed. And I start doing tefillin with the dad, and we're doing tefillin. Then when he's done, he's like, oh, why don't you do tefillin with my son? I'm like, oh, that's your son? He's like, yeah. I'm like, is he Jewish? He's like, why would you ask that? Of course he's Jewish. I'm like, oh, he mentioned to me he wasn't Jewish. What did he say? He's like, he told me he's not. He's like, I'm going to have a word with him. Come back here. And for the next many, many weeks, for the next years, till today, I was in New York a couple weeks ago. His son went and texted me to come by the office, come do the film with him. I've done film with him now over 100 times, and we developed a very close relationship. This happened in 2018, now 2025, almost for 7 years we've been doing the film together. Thank God his business has expanded. He's taken over all the stores near him. But also a cool part of the story is one day I was in the store, and he wasn't in, but his mom was there. And his mom tells me he's dating this non-Jewish girl. He's been dating her for a few years. And she really wants her to marry him to marry Jewish. So I told her, go to the Ola of the Rebbe. He'll make sure he marries Jewish. She's okay. Fast forward, I'm sitting in the Ohel like a few months ago. And a friend comes over to me and he's like, did you go to tefillin to this and this guy in Manhattan? I'm like, yeah. He's like, oh, you want to hear a cool story? I'm like, yeah, for sure. Like, basically, there's this Hasidic guy from Brooklyn, I think from Williamsburg or Borough Park, that does business with him. And he came over to us 1 week and told us that this guy's dating a shiksa, a non-Jew. And could you please give this letter to the Rebbe? I wrote a letter with his name on it, asking the Rebbe to fix his dating life and hopefully get him a Jew. So the Bachurim said, no, yeah, no problem. We'll go bring it to the Ohel. The guys brought it to the Ohel. And within a few weeks, he broke up with his longtime girlfriend, which he's been dating for probably 5, 6, 7 years. And now he's dating a Jew, Baruch Hashem. Thank God he's dating a Jew.
So Where do you, I'm a bit of a pushy person. As you were telling me the story of how persistent you are, I'm thinking about when I worked at Partners in Torah years ago to get people connected on telephone learning partnerships. It's how I got connected to Mayim Bialik. So that's my, you know, sort of Jewish celebrity Torah story. We used to do.
You know, who actually does that? Are you familiar with, you know, the guy I'm talking about, BLP Kosher? He has a chavrus on the phone every single week.
Oh yeah. So nice. So
I don't know if it's Partners in Torah, but one of them. Yeah.
It's very nice. So we used to do birthright follow-up, and I used to also track people down relentlessly. And this one guy said to me, you're like a bloodhound tracking me down. I don't know whether to scream at you or thank you, but you sure won't let me go. So I understand what it's like to be a little bit pushy. But I never actually walked up to people on the street. That to me, that's maybe like where I'm divided from me and Chabad. Like, where does that come from? Because like, I feel very passionate to let Jews know, how beautiful their heritage is and to help them get past that sort of fear of the unknown, or there's like a negative association around, observance and Jewish rituals. Like, it feels kind of like outdated or kind of yucky. There's so much negative media around that. So where do you get that, I guess, chutzpah? The only way I can describe it is chutzpah. Like, where does that come from to be able to say, I'm going to walk up to strangers and engage them? Because religion is a really personal matter. So like, before I engage someone on a topic of religion, like, I know them and there's some rapport. And this whole like mechanism is to really go up to strangers. So where does that come from?
So Rabbi Jonathan Sacks actually once said at the Kinnas, he's like, the Nazis hunted down every single Jew in hate. The Rebbe sent out a shluchim to go hunt down every single Jew in love. And that's basically what our mission is, to go hunt down every Jew in love and just spread goodness and kindness around the world. And we have that. We have that inner strength from the Rebbe and from Chabad and growing up Chabad and being Chabad, to go out anywhere fearless, no matter if you're talking to Bill Ackman or you're talking to a random teenager on the street, to go there and be proud of what we're representing. We know we're representing Hashem, and you don't have anything to fear. We're on the good side of history.
I love that. So, okay, so how else? So it sounds like a bunch of these celebrities that you met with, you just kind of stumbled upon them on the street. So we can thank Hashem for making those matches. But it seems like because you built up somewhat of a name of being the celebrity rapper, you're now getting intros to people. Like, how, can you share any of those behind the scenes intros? Like, I don't know if everything share. Yeah, so how do those things take place?
For sure. So let me think of some good intros.
We just mentioned Bill Ackman.
Bill Ackman, I cold called myself and gave him my pitch. It took about 2 weeks, and he texted me on Twitter and said, let's do it.
Love it.
He said, let me think about it originally, and then he said, let's do it. No, for sure. I get introed all the time. A cool intro was one time I was, it was right after October 7th, and I wanted to go do tefillin with, I wanted to do tefillin with Dave Grutman. So I posted on my Instagram, does anyone know Dave Grutman? I would love to do tefillin with him.
What's his story? I don't know who that is. Who's that?
Dave Grutman is a very successful Miami entrepreneur. He owns a lot of nightclubs here and owns a bunch of hospitality joints around here in Miami. He has several million followers on Instagram. Whatever, he's a cool deal in here in Miami. So I said I would love to do tefillin with him. So literally within 3 minutes, someone responds, I just sent him your story. And within 5 minutes, he responded to my story and he said, let's do it. I'm like, what day works for you? Wednesday, I took a flight from New York to Miami and I was there, did tefillin with him and flew straight back. That's a cool story. The way I got to David Mazuz, friend, I just saw what mutuals we had on Instagram, messaged a few of them. And they set it up and we did the film together. It was beautiful.
What about post October 7th? What is the response like from Jews post October 7th versus pre October 7th?
Post October 7th, it's a whole different ballgame. Jews are like feeling more united than ever. We want to connect more than ever. And it's amazing to see the outpour of people really wanting to get back into their Jewish roots. And like doing the fill in and all that stuff.
What's your success rate? Like in pre-October 7th world, how many are you a Jews did you ask and how many got yeses and to do to fill in versus in a post-October 7th world? Do you have a sense of how...
Yeah, so the success rate's not high. Like, don't think that I ask 10 people and 8 of them say, yeah. Like if I'm walking in Manhattan and I meet 100 Jews that day, if I'm lucky I'm getting 3-4 to fill in. Like, it's not a high percentage. Like, less than 5-10%.
And then how about post October 7th?
Let's say instead of 5-3-4, you're getting 8-9, God willing. But yeah.
I mean, I feel like it's such an entrepreneurial spirit to both sure. Have the guts. I mean, I very much relate to that. To just, you know, try something crazy and say, why not me? But to cold 100%. Call, you know, the person and also feel like I'm doing this with a good intention. And also, I think it also comes down to very much believing that, like, I don't run the universe and God is in charge. And, you know, if this is meant to be, then I'm just literally the messenger to do that. Any other, like, I guess, feedback sort of post October 7th, any other nice anecdotes of people who wrapped or, you know, described any sort of comfort in connecting in this way post October 7th?
Oh yeah. I get messages all the time. Like, thank God people message me all the time saying how much Tefillin has changed their life. Michael's a great example. We gifted him a pier back in March and he's really missed barely any day since then. And he's been putting it on every single day. He says it's the biggest blessing in his life. Are you familiar with Daniel Loeb?
Yeah, sure.
So a guy writes to Daniel Loeb on Twitter. He writes, Dan, what's your best business advice to someone, to a young Jewish entrepreneur? He writes back, my best business advice to a Jewish entrepreneur is to put your tefillin on every single day.
I love that. My father started rapping when he was around 50.
Wow.
And I was the first in my family to become observant. I brought everybody along with me. I told you, I'm not Chabad, but I'm almost Chabad. And he was not so convinced to do it. And he was trying to, like, understand the history behind it. And he's a doctor. And one of his patients is a Holocaust survivor. And he said to him, he never misses a day. And he said, why do you do it? And he said, it's my salute to God every day. So from hearing the Holocaust survivor say that, my father began, and he also does not miss a day.
Amazing.
And you know, my parents today have 14 Frum grandchildren. Which is, and so they started later in life. So it's really, you know, it's not my mitzvah, although growing up conservative, I actually did wrap tefillin once before my bar mitzvah, the entire group of us in our, you know, sort of B'nai mitzvah class all wrapped together.
That's funny.
It's really nice to see these displays of pride.
Sure.
And again, like
your story, your story reminds me, have you ever heard the story of the rabbi with the girl that started lighting Shabbat candles?
Nope. Tell me that one.
Basically a story, this girl started going to Hebrew school on Sunday or something like that, or maybe release time. And they gave her Shabbat candles to start lighting. So she started lighting them. And the mom's like, if the girl's lighting it, I'll light it with her. The mom starts lighting it, and then once they're lighting Shabbat candles, they're not going to go watch TV right after. So they say Friday night, we're not going to watch TV. And then that trickled down, and then eventually the whole family became fully religious, fully Shomer Shabbat, just from that one little 6-7-year-old girl starting to keep Shabbat. It led to the whole family becoming religious. And the Rebbe spoke about this once in a Fabringen, saying that one little mitzvah could trickle down. Like, I was just on the street right outside this hotel, and I meet one guy, he told me, he's like, I put on tefillin every day. I've been on a streak for the last month and a half. But today I forgot to put on it. So we met each other. We did tefillin. And then 10 seconds later, his father walks by and we do tefillin with his father.
I love it.
Like, yeah, one so little mitzvah leads to next.
When I worked at, and the saying for that from Ethics of the Fathers is mitzvah goreres mitzvah, that one mitzvah leads to another.
100%.
When I worked at Partners in Torah, I spoke to a young woman who was not observant, and she said she can't give up shrimp, but she doesn't need to eat bacon. So I said, okay, so keep eating your shrimp if that's too hard for you, but give up bacon in the meantime. And I spoke to her on a follow-up call a couple of months later. And I said, how's the no bacon eating going? And she said, it's going well. And I gave up shrimp too. I said, what happened? I said, keep doing the thing that's too hard if you can't manage. And she said, well, once I gave up the bacon, I realized I could give up the shrimp as well. So there definitely is a pull in that direction. And as I said at the beginning, I feel so inspired to see Jews waking up around the world. And I think, you know, my son, who was named after Gavriel Holzberg, that I started off the interview with, saying, when he was 11, he was not so checked in Jewishly. I was even worried, is he even going to stick with the program? And I showed him, it was 2021 when Gaza was attacking Israel the last time. And I showed him a video of Jews around the world being attacked in various places as was happening once Israel's being attacked. And I showed him then footage of like Jews being attacked in the Holocaust. My attempt was to say, like, this is what's happening to our people, wake up. And he broke down crying and said to me, why did I have to be born to such a hated people? Well, wow. Thank God when his bar mitzvah came around, really just like the week before he started going to shul, he decided, okay, I'm all in.
That's beautiful.
He needed to hear me tell him enough times that it doesn't matter how you end up, you'll always be my son, that love is unconditional. By the time his bar mitzvah came around, he was ready to sort of step up and do what he needed to do. And the blessing that I gave him at his bar mitzvah in commemoration of this, you know, yurt site of the Holzbergs was that he should love himself being Jewish than anyone could ever hate him for being Jewish.
And, must be his birthday this week, right?
It was just his birthday last week. Yes, we're taking him to get his permit soon. Yes, yes. And Mazel obviously, tov. Yeah, the news of Rabbi Tzvi Kogan, you know, being kidnapped and murdered with another connection to the Holzberg family, obviously was tragic news for, you know, world Jewry. And also, like sad. I said, we've been feeling like we've held a piece of the Holzberg family ever since our son was born. But I want to thank you for continuing to spread the light and being one of those people that's making being Jewish cool, because, you know, the gedolim, the great people of the secular world are the celebrities. And when they give their haskama, when they, you know, do something publicly in a social media post, it just helps make something normalized and approachable and not something scary or outdated. And you're really having a beautiful role in helping to normalize this beautiful mitzvah for Jewish men. And so you should have continued hatzlacha in all your work.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you. Have an amazing day.
You too. Okay. And thanks for listening. You can catch us same time, same place next week. Bye-bye.